BMW.
Good morning. It's 8:07. Got a little bit of sunshine left here. Looking for things to cloud over, as Uncle Mick said. That'll happen a little bit later on today. We are at 36 degrees, and let the Thursday talk around begin, as it normally does, with our favorite historian, Jana Gageland. Jana, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
You always laugh when I say that.
I do, because, that's like a second career kind of thing.
I know, so. And it's something that you've just taken on and kind of adapted to very, very well.
Yeah, it's go with the flow kind of thing.
But see, now the thing is everybody's going to be like, well, if I need to know something, I'll just ask Janet.
Yeah, that happens frequently.
I bet it does. I know what happened to Naomi Lakin over and on the Breckenridge side quite often, too. Yep. So there you go. Well, we're here to talk baseball again. That's kind of been our focus the past couple of weeks.
Yes, we have talked about amateur, semi-pro, and now we're going to talk about the Legion program.
Okay.
You know, that started in North Dakota probably 1926, so it's been around for a long time. Not every community had it at that time, probably the bigger areas. But then, you know, as we've gone along, even little towns like Great Bend, you know, they had their amateur or their American Legion teams. So, and a lot of those teams were coached by amateur players. So it's just sort of this, you know, whole journey of baseball.
And it's been around forever.
It has.
And we've seen it grow and grow and grow even here locally in Wapton Breckenridge.
It took us a couple years to get a team here. In 1928, they started talking about having a team. And by 1929, they had a team. And none of the players' names are familiar to me at all. Mm-hmm. But the coach's name was Andy Hausauer.
Okay, now there's a familiar name.
Yeah, the Hausauer name, right. Sure. And he played one of their first games against Sturm, which would be west of here, and they won by a close score, 11-10. It was hotly contested through every inning, and the Sturm boys eventually came here to think that they were going to carry away the honors of the day, but they were not allowed to do so. After the local boys really got going.
And pulled it out by 1 point. It must have been a really good game.
A lot of hitting, I'd say.
A lot of hitting.
Or errors, who knows. Mm-hmm. So, you know, North Dakota's been pretty fortunate with the Hall of Fame people. We've got three from our area that are in the American Legion Hall of Fame. Not as players, but as promoters. Like John Randall, you know, 1985. Earl Stolten, 1995, and then Heb Diedrich in 2003. So, you know, big names with Legion baseball in our area. We've also been, as a state, really fortunate to move some players from the American Legion programs to the national level, to the bigs. You know, you have to think first of Roger Maris, you know, 1951.
First and foremost, Rice.
Mm-hmm. And then Darren Erstead in 1992. He went to school in Nebraska and then moved on to California Angels, I think. And we've had a few others. Rick Helling, he played with Fargo Shanley and then Fargo American Legion.
That's right.
Yep. Andy Young, pitcher. Matt Strom, pitcher. They're still playing. And then Travis Hafner from Sykeston. So, you know, we've been well represented as a state. So that speaks quite highly of the type of baseball that North Dakota is offering through the American Legion.
Well, and you think what that meant over the years to so many kids.
Oh, absolutely.
Growing up and going, I'm going to play Legion ball.
Yes. Mm-hmm. At first, it was called Junior Legion. And then as the ages expanded a little bit, where teams were more well-established, then it got to be American Legion. So when you say Junior Legion, you're talking about, like, you know, B-squad type level.
Right.
But now it's just American Legion. So in 1931 yearbook, at the high school, they say that there is junior baseball, but it is made possible through the American Legion. So they didn't play it during the school year. They played it, you know, in the summertime with the help of the American Legion. We in Wapton have had two champions within our state. 1951 was our first one. And they had to go all the way to Dickinson to play their state tournament. They beat Bismarck 6-1 in the championship game. They didn't lose a game, went all undefeated. So the sirens were screaming.
I bet.
And the horns were blowing.
I bet.
And they stopped about, I don't know, a mile out of Breckenridge. And so I'm thinking, oh, they're probably at around like 210. And they had the fire trucks there. So the team got off the fire trucks and, or I mean, off the bus and got onto the fire trucks. You know, they're coming from Dickinson. There was no interstate. This was a long, trip back. And so they got on the top of the fire engines and went through Breckenridge and Wahpeton and then got as far as City Hall. And the crowds were cheering, welcoming them back. They had a German band playing.
I bet that was a celebration.
I'm sure it one for the ages. Yep. They had a few trophies and awards that they gave out. But some of the names from that team that we probably recognize. You know, John Ginsvold, we don't probably know that one from baseball history, but Bob Singelman, Eddie Dahlgren, and we had Bill Nowetzki, we've had him before, Steve Myra, Ronnie Severson. The coach was Pat Mongovan. And the picture I have, he is the smallest person of all those people.
Really?
Yes, you can take a look at it. He's just a very small person by comparison.
Looks like a little kid.
He does. Yeah. It was his second year. And so he, you know, won a state championship. I think there's a Sturdivant on that team, Bob?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, you know, then we get into, you know, playing and playing, and by 1996, then we have our next state champion. So I visited with Gripper a little bit yesterday, and their tournament, unfortunately, was held in Williston, you know, far, far away.
Mm-hmm.
And they beat Grand Forks in the championship game 17-1. They had lost one earlier and then had to come back to the loser's bracket. So
17-1, I mean, that's a rout.
It is. You'd have thought that maybe our guys would have been a little tired, but no, they weren't. They were out there. But, you know, this group of guys came along as 15-year-olds, and so they were pretty solid. You know, they just, you know, baseball was in their blood. They were like diamond rats.
Sure.
They were just there all the time, and they were like a blue-collar player, you know. With whoever had the dirtiest uniform was probably right up there on the top of the pedestal.
It's like the Sandlot all over again.
Yes,
it really was.
For sure, yeah. So they came back after winning the state championship, and then, of course, they got met on the, you know, the Highway 13, which was a four-lane at that time, and I think they met him at Dwight, and then they had a parade coming in and sirens, you know, sounding.
Again, a celebration.
Yes, and then they went down to the park, and they had baseballs to sign, and they had just a real great festival-type thing going on down there.
Unbelievable.
And then they went, the 1951 club went to Mitchell, South Dakota for the regional, lost two in a row. And then this team went to Iowa, Dyersville, Iowa, Field of Dreams. I mean, that was the right, it was perfect for them, Field of Dreams.
Sure.
And they unfortunately lost two in a row also, but you know, the scores were really close, 6-3, you know, they just were destined to be there.
That's right.
Yeah, and so some of those players, Wayne Grippentrog was coach, and we have like Joey Caveney, Travis McPherson, Mike Peschel, Josh Kerwald, Brian Schmidt, Caleb Kerwald, Corey Weichel, Matt Doctor. I talked to Matt a little bit yesterday. Jeremy Peschel, Jason Procno, Jared Caveney, Rick Larson, Tony Cresson, Kevin Poss, Matt Steen, and Justin Procno was the bat boy.
All those names connected with baseball.
Absolutely.
Every time you think of like the Peschel boys, you just think baseball.
Yes.
Right.
Right. And a lot of them went on to play club baseball in our school. We didn't have organized baseball. You know, I found some of the science school stuff, but you know, we were missing the 30s, and I was trying to find it by Wildcat baseball, but it was under science baseball.
I suppose.
So those 30s, we did have baseball, but we didn't have it at the high school level till 2001.
Okay.
So from 96, 97 going forward to 2001, it was club, kind of like we've had other sport before the school has taken them over as, you know, this is our team.
Mm-hmm.
And so now in 2001, they had this is our team. Steve Hockert was the coach, and Joey Oliver, Eric Linen, Nate Week, Brett Anderson, Tyler Mund, Lee Dusick, Dan LeClaire, Chris Weber, Vetter, Kelly Peterson, Andy Fiala. I mean, there's just tons of names. Mike Mauch. I mean, these are... Justin went from bat boy to a player.
Moved up. He got promoted.
Yep. And Josh Nordic, who's now coaching over in Minnesota. So, you know, it's been good. And the comment that Steve makes in here is that my worst fear is coming into this first time that we step outside. We haven't been there, you know. So hitting isn't tough to work on inside. It's the fielding and fly balls that would cause us trouble. Which, yeah, I mean,
sure.
The weather now has been horrible for these poor kids,
mm-hmm.
and so they'll hope get a few more games off. You know, rather than scheduled, rescheduled, or postponed, whatever. In fact, some of the seasons I looked at, they actually end up playing games on Sundays.
No kidding.
In high school.
Okay.
Because the weather was bad and the, you know, conditions weren't not good.
Yeah, the one thing around here you really can depend on.
Right.
One thing you can depend on is it changing.
Yes. And, so, and that's why it has taken so long for us to get high school baseball. Mm-hmm. I think Breckenridge probably has had it for many more years than we have. And those small schools, some don't even have it anymore. But... some are big enough to have it because there's track that and everything in, you know, tennis,
sure.
and the other competitions for their skills. So
right. What and again, always great to talk about this. And I just keep thinking, every time you think of baseball, I just think of John Randall Field.
Of course.
And the changes that's gone through and what it's become today.
Yep.
And the program just growing right along with it, too.
Yes.
It's like it's such a nice, it's kind of in the fabric of our, definitely in the fabric of our history here.
Oh, yeah. Our community, I mean, it's part of our culture, mm-hmm. you know. And one of the things that people said back in 1996 when we won that state championship and then went on to the region, they're like, "God, I wish I would have gone to a couple of games,
right,
or a game." You know, they didn't realize how good these kids were or could be,
exactly.
And so they missed out. You know, not me. Yeah, I was there.
Yeah,
I was probably keeping score or something like that. But you know, yeah. So I hope that people can get out and support American Legion baseball, even if they don't know the players.
Yeah,
just because it's the game of baseball.
It's a game of baseball, and it's fun.
Yes, it is.
Back to doing, and it's outdoors, so
it's free.
It's free.
Yep, you don't get charged. You go up to some other stadiums, and you get charged mm-hmm. $10, $15 per person to go in.
Just
watch a game.
Just a no-brainer. Now, next week, we're going to kind of wrap things up on our baseball history here.
Right. We're talking our baseball.
Right.
Our Sandlot.
We will. We'll talk about our Sandlot. I love that. Yep. Janet, always great to have you in.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
Talking baseball history here in the Twin Towns and in the area with Janet Gageland. We talk with Janet every Thursday at this time here. The Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW. Good morning.
Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. Call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. 802-341.